A woman in South Carolina types into Google, "Is my husband gay?" In Mississippi, a man searches for gay porn at 2 a.m., then immediately follows up with, "Am I gay?" test. Meanwhile, in California, searches for "kill Muslims" spike 400% after a terrorist attack. These aren't isolated incidents. They're windows into our most private thoughts, the ones we'd never admit to friends, family, or even ourselves. What makes these digital confessions so revealing? Unlike social media posts or survey responses, Google searches have no audience to impress. There's no reason to lie when you're alone with a search bar, desperately seeking answers about your marriage, your identity, or your darkest impulses. This raw honesty creates something unprecedented, a massive database of human truth. We're all liars, not malicious ones necessarily, but liars nonetheless. When researchers ask how often we attend church, donate to charity, or vote in elections, we consistently inflate our virtue. A classic 1950s Denver study exposed this pattern. People claimed they voted when records proved otherwise, overstated their charitable giving, and misrepresented their church attendance. Fast forward to today, 40% of Americans claim weekly church attendance, yet actual headcounts suggest only 20% show up. College graduates routinely exaggerate their GPAs by half a point or more. This social desirability bias has plagued researchers for decades, making it nearly impossible to understand what people actually think and do. Enter the digital confession booth. Google searches meet every condition for brutal honesty. They're private, anonymous, and most importantly, there's genuine incentive to be truthful. If you're worried about depression symptoms or need information about an embarrassing health condition, lying to Google only hurts yourself. This creates what amounts to digital truth serum, revealing patterns that traditional research methods consistently miss. Traditional surveys suggest 2 to 3% of American men identify as gay, with dramatic state variations. But pornography searches reveal a different reality. Approximately 5% of male porn searches nationwide are for gay content, and Mississippi's rate, 4.8%, barely differs from Rhode Island's, 5.2%. This consistency across all states, regardless of local attitudes, suggests sexual orientation exists independent of cultural environment, and the true percentage of gay men is roughly double what surveys indicate. Deeper patterns emerge from the data. Is my husband gay? Searches concentrate heavily in conservative states like South Carolina, Louisiana, and Mississippi, spiking 10% during Pride events, suggesting thousands of women grappling with suspicions they can't voice publicly. Men in these regions search for gay test immediately after viewing gay porn, revealing internal conflicts between desire and identity. Social pressure doesn't change orientation, it just forces people to hide it, often from themselves. Search data also challenges gender assumptions. Women's searches for violent pornographic content exceed men's by roughly 10%. Men search twice as often about girlfriends refusing sex than women do about boyfriends. These patterns persist regardless of demographics, revealing how profoundly our public personas diverge from private realities. Google searches expose society's hidden prejudices with stark clarity. Millions annually search, "Why are Black people rude?" or "Why are Jews evil?" Questions never voiced aloud, but freely typed in private. African Americans uniquely face rude and angry labels, while most minorities, except Jews and Muslims, encounter stupid stereotypes. The evil designation attaches predominantly to Jews, Muslims, and gay people. Crisis amplifies these hatreds. After the 2015 San Bernardino shooting, California searches for "kill Muslims" surged over 400%. When President Obama delivered a speech to reduce Islamophobia, it backfired. Searches calling Muslims terrorists, bad, and evil doubled, while "kill Muslims" tripled. The racial slur "nigger" appears in roughly 7 million American searches annually, spiking when African Americans dominate news cycles. This volume challenges theories that modern racism operates primarily through unconscious bias. The data suggests conscious, deliberate racism remains widespread, merely hidden. Gender biases follow similar patterns. parents search "Is my son gifted?" 2.5 times more than for daughters, despite girls being 9% more likely to qualify for gifted programs. Conversely, parents worry about daughters being overweight twice as often and ugly 3 times more. Data from 2004 onward shows virtually no improvement. The big data revolution isn't about collecting more data. It's about finding the right data. Google's founders grasped this intuitively. While competitors like AltaVista counted word frequency, easily manipulated, Google analyzed the web of links between sites, crowdsourcing expertise across the internet. This insight propelled Google from startup to dominance within 2 years. Consider American Pharoah, an unremarkable yearling with a worrying ankle scratch slated for auction in 2013. Jeff Setter, a Harvard-educated eccentric who'd spent decades measuring everything from nostril size to manure volume, discovered something revolutionary. Portable ultrasound revealed that heart size, particularly left ventricle size, predicted racing success better than any other factor. American Pharoah's left ventricle measured in the 99.61th percentile. 18 months later, he became the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. Even photographs reveal hidden patterns. Computer scientists analyzed 949 American high school yearbooks spanning 1905-2013, discovering Americans gradually shifted from solemn expressions to beaming smiles, not from increased happiness, but from Kodak's marketing associating photography with joyful moments. Similarly, Google Ngrams reveals cultural shifts through language. Americans transitioned from "the United States are" to "the United States is" more gradually than historians thought. Geography shapes behavior through information networks. In Miami, 30% of self-employed individuals with one child reported exactly $9,000 in income, precisely maximizing earned income tax credits. Philadelphia showed only 2%. This wasn't about morality, but proximity to tax professionals. Researchers tracked people relocating from low-fraud to high-fraud areas, documenting how they gradually adopted these practices, like catching a virus. Using 150,000 notable Americans from Wikipedia, researchers uncovered geographic disparities in producing successful individuals. California-born baby boomers achieved notability at nearly 4 times the rate of West Virginia counterparts. College towns like Ann Arbor and Berkeley excelled across fields, while historically black colleges like Tuskegee produced disproportionate numbers of notable African Americans despite small size. Urban centers specialized. New York produced journalists. Boston generated scientists. Los Angeles created entertainment professionals. Doppelganger searches, finding statistical twins to predict outcomes, revolutionized baseball through Nate Silver's Pecota system. When Red Sox slugger David Ortiz faced a 2009 career crisis, doppelganger analysis identified similar players who'd recovered from comparable slumps. Ortiz rebounded, leading the American League in slugging percentage by 2016. This methodology now powers Amazon's recommendations, Netflix's suggestions, and medical treatment decisions through medical twins, patients with similar conditions enabling personalized care. On February 27, 2000, Google tested showing 20 search results instead of 10. By 2011, they ran 7,000 annual tests. Facebook now conducts 1,000 daily, more experiments in 1 day than the entire pharmaceutical industry starts in a year. This testing reveals our faulty intuition. Obama's campaign tested homepage combinations. The winning picture, Obama's family, and button text, Learn More, generated 40% more signups and $60 million in additional funding. But there's a dark side. This optimization makes the internet addictive. As design ethicist Tristan Harris warns, there are 1,000 people on the other side of the screen whose job it is to break down the self-regulation you have. Big data has clear limitations. Economists compared Stuyvesant High School students who scored just above and below the strict admission cutoff. The elite illusion, students who barely made it, performed no better on AP exams, SAT scores, or college admissions than nearly identical students who just missed it. Similarly, high-achieving students accepted to Harvard but choosing Penn State achieved similar career success. Individual characteristics predicted outcomes better than institutional prestige. Financial markets expose another limitation. The curse of dimensionality means exponentially increasing variables make finding genuine patterns increasingly difficult. Many apparent patterns are spurious correlations, like lucky coin flippers who appear to predict markets through pure randomness.
Language patterns in loan applications reveal unsettling predictors. Applicants mentioning God, making emotional promises, or frequently referencing family show higher default rates. Specific repayment timelines and concrete financial planning indicate reliability. Cambridge research found Facebook likes for Mozart or curly fries correlate with higher IQs, while Harley Davidson preferences correlate with lower IQs. Adriana Donato's murder by an ex-boyfriend followed weeks of his online searches about murder methods. Google searches show meaningful correlations. Suicide-related searches track actual suicide rates, while Islamophobic searches correlate with hate crimes. Yet targeting individuals presents statistical challenges. The false positive rate is extremely high. Millions make suicide-related searches monthly, but only a tiny fraction attempt suicide. In 2015, there were approximately 12,000 searches for kill Muslims, but only 12 actual hate crime murders. The future lies in science at scale, applying simple methods hundreds of times using big data. EDU Star found gamified math lessons performed worse than standard approaches. Jawbone discovered a two-step nudge process gained users 23 extra minutes of sleep nightly. While digital truth serum reveals uncomfortable realities, this knowledge offers three benefits: comfort knowing we're not alone, alerts to hidden suffering enabling interventions, and understanding that leads to solutions. The question isn't whether we'll use this knowledge, it's whether we'll use it wisely.